important pieces of advice that I can offer you guys, and I want you to really remember this. Never let anybody tell you who you are. You tell them who you are. Never let anybody suggest to you that you are what they think you should be. You tell them who you are and who you know you are and what you intend to be. Got that?
Welcome to the Buff Show, 94.9 FM, AM 950, the Anso Orlando. My Buff, your host, broadcasting from the Liam Fitzpatrick studio here. And check out thebuffshow.com for show information, past interviews, the podcast, videos, and so much more. And we got a big show for you, a very special guest. You know, you heard him on the show before, former lead singer of the Misfits and doing a great job in his solo career, Michael Graves, back on the Buff Show. Great to have you, Michael.
Great to be back.
Well, I tell you what, since we talked last, couple weeks ago, we've had more craziness. I mean, for crying out loud, anything this administration touches turns to garbage. We get gender neutral toys. They won't even be here, though, because the supply ships are out to sea. Right. And then now they're trying to mess up the moon.
They are. I didn't see that headline.
Oh, you didn't see the video of Kamala Harris pandering to a bunch of child actors. They were paid to be there. This administration, everything they do, they fake it. Even the act, even the people listening to them are paid actors. And she was talking about how you're going to see the moon today and it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
And while the country's exploding everywhere else.
Yeah, let's go Brandon, right? I mean, everything is synthetic. Even his election was clearly a fraud. And that's all they got going for them is lies. It's funny how the cornerstone of everything that comes out of the administration, the progressive left, all of the narrative in the media and all these things they push are fabricated. They're based on lies, everything. And we know who the father of lies is. It's our good friend Satan. So, and that's really where the fount of all this is.
It really is. I mean, just the gender question alone, who else would come up with that than Satan? I mean, it's clearly biological evidence that there's two genders, and that is a fact. What is all this other pandering? Where's this coming from? I mean, 5 years ago, it wasn't this crazy.
Well, it's the long march, right? It's the long march. It's the taking over of America. And this isn't just coming from internally. This isn't a domestic thing. This is a real takeover of our country. This is unrestricted warfare. And that's really what people have to understand as well. And, you know, we talk about Satan, we talk about God, and you see God being ripped out of the country. Like you said, whether it's the falsity, the untruth that there's more than one gender, on and on. All of these truths, when you rip God, you rip the Bible out of America, we no longer have the country, that grand experiment that was based in Judeo-Christian belief. This country has thrived, and we are so successful, not in spite of Christianity, but because of it.
No, that's a great point. And we got to get back to that. We were just doing a Pray for Our Leaders event this weekend, and that's what we were talking about. God blesses a nation who blesses him. And it's just amazing when you kick him out and things start falling apart and people go, well, why is all this falling apart? What happened? I mean, we kicked out God. I thought things would be better.
That's right. There needs to be a spiritual awakening in this country. And that's why I work so hard at breaking through, the walls of you know, the mainstream Christianity, because I'm kind of in the middle there. You know, nobody's really seen or very few people have seen a Christian like me who comes from this punk rock world. You know, I'm from this different planet. And that's one of my missions, is to reach people that the Christian church and the Christian movement, the contemporary Christian movement, and the music and the culture that's there is not going to reach the people that I can and that I do. We need more of that. We need more of me. We need to get back to Bible-based Christianity, and we need to proclaim the word of God to everybody we possibly can, especially young people. We need to change the culture.
Yeah, we do. And it's going to be a difficult task, but that's what we're charged to do. And let's talk about punk rock for a second, because you come, the Misfits, one of the greatest punk rock bands of all time, you were. Yeah. And we're very proud of that. And it was a lot of fun, especially around Halloween time. It's great, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But
the punk rock attitude, I mean, since when did all these punk rockers, and also the hippies, when did they become all big fans of government and big pharma? I mean, whatever happened to punk rock? You saw a different generation almost. You're not that old.
Yeah, yeah. It really started to shift in the 90s after the punk rock skinhead wars of the late 80s into the 90s, when punk rock really started to become bigger. And with the circulation of magazines, you had punk rock politics, that became increasingly far left. And the radical element, the militant element of the far left, really seeped in the early 90s. And the punk rock that, you know, the punk rock ethos that I'm more associated with really became what you see currently as like New York hardcore. So it was in the early 90s and this militant mindset really started to set in. And then the leftist, the progressive money started to really pour into it. And that mindset just took over, and it was tainted with this un-American, hate America bend to it, where, you know, Ronald Reagan, for example, was the focus of the ire of punk rock. But it was as well because voices like mine were pushed out and segregated and demonized, that you now have what Antifa is. Antifa grew out of the underground punk rock movement. That's where it came from.
You see like a Green Day go on stage now, it might as well be Antifa up there.
100%. Green Day, a band like Green Day's hands have, they are responsible absolutely for lighting the fuse of all of this when they got on stage. And we're talking about no KKK, no Trump, no USA, you know, Jello Biafra, you know, NOFX, all of them are guilty.
And they're not getting canceled for many shows, but
no.
There's a lot of people that are just getting turned off by stuff like that. And it does hurt their fan base. But the record labels don't care. You're in Utah today, yeah?
I am, yes. I'm in St. George, Utah.
So when you do a show now, and we talked about last time you were on the show getting some events canceled, but we got your schedule on thebuffshow.com, and of course, check out Michael Graves online. We got the schedule out there. You're coming to Florida. We can't wait to see you. But are we getting events because of other events being canceled? Is that bearing fruit on other events for you?
Yeah. Again, I'm still sort of in the middle because I've been pushed out of punk rock and rock. It's really difficult to find public venues that will have me. So we talked about last time, I've been doing a lot of private shows, which have been amazing. I'm really making the pivot over towards, I'm looking for a home somewhere, you know, in the country music section or the neo-Christian music section, because nobody will have me in the circles of punk rock or rock, which is fine. which is fine. I'll chart my own path. I'm doing quite well so far.
Well, no, that's good. And we're going to do everything we can to help you, because later on the show, you're going to play your hit song, An American Prayer, for us. And we can't wait to see that. What's on tap, like, in Utah tonight, like, on your set list? Do you play, like, older stuff, newer stuff? What is typically on your set list?
I do a nice mix of everything. You know, everybody loves to hear the Misfit songs, which I do. Yeah. Dig Up Her Bones, Crying on Saturday Night, Scream. So I do a nice blend of everything, my solo work, as well as the old school Misfit catalog of songs that people love to hear.
Yeah, that's so fun. And we were talking, people love to hear you. They buy the tickets. They love to come see you. We just got to find a home for Michael Graves. What about when you said country music? How could you make that transition from a punk rocker? I guess, I mean, Darius Rucker went from the Blowfish. That's an easier transition. How do you go from Dig Up Her Bones to Mama Ain't Got No Wheelchair?
Well, I make the jump pretty seamlessly. The songs that I write are really, when they're babies, the genesis of these songs are very simple songs that come from a place that are simple rock. And then when you backtrack that to as far as simple music, you get to Robert Johnson, for example, or Woody Guthrie, where you just have these simple songs, or somebody like Bob Dylan. And my music sounds a lot more like that kind of music than it does punk. People, when they hear, oh, Michael Graves, punk rock music, they think that there's lots of screaming and overbearing noise that's not the case. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I've been trying to do as much media as possible, because I make, as well as using my brain and saying the things that I say, I also make really good music that I think that people don't know that I'm making. Again, I get caught up in this punk rock thing, and there's the punk rock politics, and then there's the punk rock genre. There's two different things.
It's all lumped together.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, but it's funny. You reminded me, we were talking yesterday on the show about the military not getting vaccinated, hundreds of thousands of them not getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have a military soon, just rednecks and cockroaches. And somebody said that would be a good song. So think about that one.
I love that.
Yeah, rednecks and cockroaches. But Michael Graves, stay with us, because we want to hear you play An American Prayer. You guys are going to love this on The Buff Show. Can you stay with us for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, you guys stay right there. We'll be right back with Michael Graves performing An American Prayer right here on The Buff Show.
And here's your host, Matt Buff.
Welcome to The Buff Show. The reason I wanted to bring you on the show today is because everybody's been talking about what to do with schools. The adults are talking, but nobody's listening to the kids. There's how we do it.
Oh, the hell with that. Give me a hand. Shake my hand. There, right. There you go. All right. How you doing, Matt?
Good to see you, Chris. Defense team in that phony impeachment trial. Pam Bondi joins us live on The Buff Show. Pam, good to see you.
Hey, guys. How are you?
It's on The Buff Show today. Welcome, Roger Stone. Glad to have you with us.
I am delighted to be back with you.
So everywhere, it's getting hard not to listen to us. We're everywhere.
Right. Love it.
All right. We'll see you next time, and you guys stay smart out there.
Welcome back to the Buff Show, 94.9 FM, AM 950, The Answer, Orlando. Matt Buff, your host in the Liam Fitzpatrick studio. As promised, we are rejoined by Michael Graves, who's in Utah tonight to perform a show. And I was really hoping when I was talking to his PR that we could hear an American Prayer on the Buff Show. Because when I first interviewed you, I was doing some research and that song came up and I listened to it, added it to my playlist. I love the song because now more than ever, this is what we need. Where did you get the motivation for this song?
Well, all of what I've been through in the past year and a half certainly lends to the motivation of writing that song. I wanted to write a song that reflected my spirituality and reflected my empathy and my compassion for everybody and everybody's, you know, hurt and pain inside. You know, real quick, I had the opportunity to visit the Waco Memorial and the Branch Davidian Church about a year ago and speak to some people over there. And just the humanity of that situation really sparked something in my brain about compassion and empathy and what's on the other side of things. You know, we hold on to our humanness. We hold on to this material world so much. And there's always the beyond that we think about. And we always hope, we have that hope that we're all, our loved ones will be there on the other side, if you will. And so I guess that's why I called it my American Prayer, because the hope of togetherness and love.
That is so cool, man. All right, everybody on the Buff Show, check it out. Michael Graves performing My American Prayer.
Servants fear, rejoice and trembling. May you lay down to sleep amongst the singing. Angels tend to you, you need some healing. My soul lays down and goes to sleep. Forgiveness, a narrow path beyond the choosing. Accepting signs you're never, ever, ever losing. Thankful for the thorns and for the bruising. At night I close my eyes and whisper things to you. This is my American prayer. I see you in the promised land when I make it there. This is my American prayer. I see you in the promised land when I make it there. When I make it there. When I make it there, yeah, my American prayer. There's 10,000 reasons to be joyful when all it bears may come to pass. Don't try so hard, we'll end the weeping. The promised day will come at last. I'll
hallelujah. The narrow path beyond the choosing, accepting signs you're never, ever, ever losing. Thankful for the thorns and for the bruising. At night I close my eyes and whisper things to you. This is my American prayer. I see you in the promised land when I make it there. This is my American prayer. I see you on the other side when I make it there. When I make it there. When I make it there. Yeah, yeah. My American prayer.
Awesome. That's Michael Graves, everybody. My American Prayer. There it is. The acoustic version.
Yeah.
Which is a great acoustic song.
Thank you.
Absolutely. What does it feel like when you write a good song like that and people respond to it? What does that feel like to you?
It's the greatest feeling in the world. That's the magic of music, where I can sit here and write a song that comes from my heart and my soul, and then it goes out into the world and it gets into somebody else's ears, and it has some sort of, they have a physical experience. They have this emotional experience, and it's amazing because that song came from me, you know, and people that hear it, they're complete strangers, but yet they have this connection to a song. There's a very cosmic connection that I make with humanity when that happens. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a gift from the Lord.
Yeah. It's so awesome to see. You just light up completely when you're done with the song. You know, you've been doing this for so long and you still have that buzz inside of you. I mean, that's a cool thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So everybody check him out online too. One thing you do online too is I love this on YouTube, you would bring people on that disagree with you and you never lost your demeanor. You don't lose your cool. The left is full of so much hate and you're just sitting there being cool. Do you still do these YouTubes?
Yeah, I do. And I always put out there, if there's somebody that wants to have a conversation, a dissenting conversation, they want to challenge me on my beliefs, or they have some sort of evidence of me being this, you know, horrible person, they are more than welcome at any time to come on. I kick people off when they start cursing, and they, you know, how the left gets, they blow gaskets. It's important to have dialogue and conversation. And again, in pop culture, there needs to be more places where that format can take hold, so that again, young people can learn again how to speak to one another and how to disagree with one another and allow and have allowances for disagreements, because that's the only way that things move forward. That's real progress. That's how you get ahead, not by stifling people and taking their words and their opinions away. It's not how things should work.
This does happen on both sides. Yeah. We had Congressman Dan Crenshaw on last night, and some conservatives were upset because they don't like a couple things he said. But I still needed to get this guy's take on vaccine mandates and the debt ceiling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't just shut out people just because they say one thing they don't like. And now if they're a crazy communist, there's going to be little common ground. But I still want to debate those people.
Yeah, 100%. One of the problems that we're having here in our society is this: are all of our emotions. And emotions lead us astray, especially when there's so much now. We've gotten into this psychological pocket where people have a much more emotional response than they would a logical response to any sort of stimuli, any sort of input that they're getting. That makes people much more controllable. So one of the things certainly that I work with young people, especially young men, is dealing with emotions. When you have an emotional response, you need to be able to control that and then think through that logically and not rely on your emotional response, but rely on your logical response to remain calm, to breathe normally, keep your heart rate down so that you can think.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that people learn about too in the seven habits of highly effective leadership is to ask questions. If you disagree with somebody, why do you believe this way? Why do you believe? Please explain to me why you think this is right. Is a much better dialogue than the fire and ice. Sometimes I call names on this show. I do, and those people deserve it. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't have them on the show and give them a fair platform to disagree with me.
Right.
And that's what we've got here. Well, Michael Graves, always great to have you on the show. We should do like a weekly segment. I'll get with your people and see if we can do that and get the name out here. I'd love to come have you come play a couple venues down here. We have a couple sponsors with restaurant space and all that. So I want to talk to them if you want to come down here and play to a maskless, freedom-loving crowd.
I'm all about it. I'd love to. I just canceled my performance at Whiskey A Go-Go out in Los Angeles, which was going to be the biggest show of this tour because of the vaccine mandates. I won't play to a segregated audience. So I told Whiskey A Go-Go, I can't in good conscience do that. And I can't be part of an effort to have people perhaps participate in this experiment, this, you know, medical experiment, to be in a building to watch me play, or to just play for people who are vaccinated. I wouldn't just play for people who are unvaccinated. I wouldn't play for, you know, I can't play for a segregated audience. And so I pulled out of the concert.
Well, good for you. A lot of stars are doing that. They're pulling out of these conferences. They say that we won't play for a mandated vaccine crowd. But if you play here in Florida, vaccinated people are welcome to come.
Excellent.
You know, it's just,
I'm in.
You don't have to be.
Yeah.
When's your big Halloween show this year? Are you doing a big Halloween show this year?
I'm going to be home on Halloween. I decided to stop taking off. There was three shows that were booked that then fell through. They were canceled because, you know, the mob showed up and started yelling about, you know, how we spoke about it last time. So I decided to stop looking for work for Halloween, and I am going to be at home with my wife and my children, and we're going to have a wonderful Halloween together.
Hey, you can set up a haunt there, go trick or treating, do all the fun family things.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have fun.
All right. That's awesome. Michael Graves, everybody on the Buff Show. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you very soon.
On Saturday, October 30th, join Christians from all over Florida for the revival event of the year. The Black Robe Regiment is restoring faith and a fighting spirit in America. Be part of this new movement in an evening filled with inspiring music and powerful speakers, including Jenny Frederickson, pastor at Church of the Savior in Orlando, Florida, U.S. Senate candidate Luis Miguel, U.S. House candidate Thierry Appiah, Florida House candidate Drake Wirtz, and U.S. House candidate Willie Montague. The event runs from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, October 30th at the Lake Eola Amphitheater in Orlando. Admission is free. Contact The Buff Show at info@thebuffshow.com for more information.
Welcome back to The Buff Show, 94.9 FM, AM 950 The Answer Orlando. Visit thebuffshow.com, of course, for show information. And we got a new interview for you from the Heritage Foundation. David Ditch is going to join us. He's the policy analyst in the Grover M. Herman Center for the Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. So when the Democrats want to tax and spend us into oblivion, this is a great guy to ask about that. David, welcome to the Buff Show. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I really appreciate the work you guys are doing at the Heritage Foundation. You bring a lot of great information to our listeners. So let's talk about specifically the spending plan, which thank goodness the Democrats can't get on the same page as on right now. Where do you see this as far as the reconciliation right now is where it sits?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think anyone can predict which way this is going to go. Right now, it looks like they're going to come down from the astronomically insane $3.5 trillion of spending that they initially were looking at. Now they're going to spend just a more regularly insane amount of money if they can agree on how much to spend and what to spend it on and how to raise the money, all of which are going to be very contentious. One of the biggest problems they're facing is that right now, the $3.5 trillion plan, I've spent the last couple of weeks reviewing it as best I can. I mean, no one can read that whole thing end to end fully, but they have got a little something or a lot of somethings for practically every left-wing constituency out there. And if you're going to bring the size down, you've either got to get rid of a lot of the ticky-tack spending, or you have to go after some of the bigger items. And in any way they go, there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it's going to be really difficult for them to get out of this unscathed.
You're absolutely right, because the far left wants this and the moderates want that. And they just want the win. They don't care that it's probably bad for America in a time where inflation is going through the roof. They don't care that it's going to probably hurt Americans, because they just want to label the Build Back Better victory. That's all they want. So Nancy Pelosi's coming back to town to gut this thing. I don't think that's going to go over well with the squad, because what they're going to come out, and David, you said it correctly, which parts are they going to take out that are going to hurt America the less? I don't think that's on their agenda. I don't think it's about the American people.
It's about trying to centralize power and control in Washington. It's about doling out benefits for the interest groups that they care about. It's not about the broader public good. The number of things in this bill that all but say we are trying to empower far left-wing activists with taxpayer dollars, they come about 2 inches short of saying it. They want to spend on left-wing groups promoting climate activist advocacy. They want people going after businesses on labor issues. They want to go after landlords. It's one thing after another where they're spending money to hire left-wing activist groups and to hire more federal bureaucrats to be left-wing activists in, here in D.C. And I'm concerned to a certain extent. I see some conservatives being understandably concerned about things like inflation, things about increasing taxes. I'm worried about both of those. I don't want this economic recovery that's just getting its legs under it to get kneecapped right now. But at the same time, I see a lot of energy going to discussing small little culture war flare-ups. This could be a generational culture war win for the left by hiring and funding thousands, if not millions, of left-wing activists, indirectly or directly, and I don't see nearly as much pushback against this as we did, say, for Obamacare.
Are you talking about the IRS army as part of that too? Because in this bill, they're trying to control the vote. They're trying to control the vote, amnesty for illegals, and the IRS army checking out your bank accounts. That kind of is a red flag, wouldn't you say?
They talk about, on the one hand, they always talk about, oh, we're going to go after the billionaires. We want them to pay more in taxes. And then they have a provision talking about wanting to go after financial transactions of $600. Now, I'm sorry, but I don't think Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos are sweating out $600 transactions.
No, you're exactly right. They're not. And that's probably why Gates and Bezos are supporting things like this. In the end, they get more breaks because of things like this. And it just trickles down and harms the American people more than anything. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she's just trying to save a last gasp here to try to get one last victory. Biden doesn't know what's going on. I'm talking about the 25-year-old diplomats, the people that have an interest in changing this into a socialist country. Aren't those the ones we need to be concerned about with this bill? Because like you said, it's impossible to read the whole thing. They're just throwing a bunch of stuff in there.
It's really striking the way that in the 2020 primaries, you had this vision of Joe Biden as the moderate, reasonable candidate. And then he becomes president, and now he's giving the left every single thing that they want. Now, if you look at his record when he was in the Senate, he wasn't exactly a Joe Manchin moderate. He was very comfortable with big government, big taxes, big spending. So none of this is a surprise. But the extent to which he is just nodding his head and passively allowing the far left to drive the agenda at a time when they've got no margins in any of the chambers to try to go to this kind of extreme, they're going for everything, but they might end up with nothing. Because if you can't find a plan that strikes the right balance between how much they're spending and how much they're taxing, a lot of members are going to balk. And the more time passes, the more the American people wake up to the problems in this bill. The polling I've seen shows that the people who are paying the closest attention to this spending bill dislike it the most. The more people learn, the less they like it.
Yeah, no kidding. We were talking with Dan Crenshaw last night on the Buff Show, and he said that the debt ceiling raised by the Republicans in the Senate was a good thing. To me, it kept kicking the can down the road. I wanted him to explain that. He goes, because defaulting on our debt is the most catastrophic thing that could be done in America. And the Senate acted like the adults in the room. Do you agree with that?
I think, unfortunately, there's sort of a false dichotomy here. We don't need to default on our debt. That would have serious consequences. On the other hand, we've been kicking the can, as you say, by just allowing these time-limited but monetarily unlimited increases in the national debt. Times where we have gotten some serious fiscal responsibility, a lot of times...
Had some technical difficulty with David, but he was right on track. David Ditch from the Heritage Foundation. We'll still put this interview out there on thebuffshow.com. And it's just amazing. These guys are trying to spend our way into socialism. The far left and the moderates are even pretty far left anyway, fighting it out over reconciliation, how much to spend, and where to spend it. They want to raise taxes, but just to spend that tax money, which is theft, just to spend that tax money on useless government projects. Everything this administration touches turns to garbage. And the American people are seeing right through it. I mean, inflation is higher than growth right now. I mean, it's unreal. Frustration with Biden is at an all-time high. Among his key constituents, the numbers are particularly bad. W. Mondale Robinson of the Black Male Voter Project says, I think frustration is at an all-time high and Biden can't go to Georgia or any black state. You know, him and Kamala aren't going to help at all in the races in Virginia. They can't go to Georgia. They can't go to the black states and say, this is what we delivered in 2021. They're just obsessed
upset about the destruction of America, the economy, and the nothingness that they promised the black community. Pew Research Center polls found Biden's approval rating among black Americans fell from 85% in July. 85%, what's wrong with you guys? To 67% in September. All right. While also falling 16 points among Hispanics and 14% amongst Asians. That's according to the Washington Post. I mean, for crying out loud, Fox News, Biden average approval rating among voters has been on a downward slide since June, teetering about 38%, the lowest of his presidency. He's seen the steepest drop among independent voters, right? Which could have a major electoral implications. But we'll take care of that because in this bill we're going to send out, we'll make sure that we can to keep mail-in balloting and keep the status quo when it comes to election ballot harvesting. We'll make sure to do that. Even though we're destroying this country and everybody hates us, I would tell you right now the 38% is garbage. 38% approval rating for Joe Biden for what? Even if you're the nuttiest of nuts, what would you look at as a success? What would you look at? Oh, we got out of Afghanistan. Yeah, that worked out well. American soldiers died, millions of dollars of weapons. That worked out really well. Very good stuff there. What would you look at? He wants to tax the rich. We like that. We like taxing the rich. Oh, yeah, that makes inflation even higher, and your prices for food and gas and everything else is just going through the roof. There's nothing to be happy about. We'll be right back on The Buff Show.
Veritas Tactical, a family and law enforcement owned company where you can get custom built ARs with purpose built precision. They have a full line of handguns like Glock, Sig Sauer, Smith & Wesson, and get your everyday carry items and accessories. Moreover, they are your Liberty Safe dealer. Need training? Veritas Tactical has all you need from getting your CCW to advanced tactical courses, female survival courses, and force on force scenarios. Veritas Tactical has a full time gunsmith on site, Cerakoting services, laser engraving, and more. Mention The Buff Show and get a $25 discount on courses. You'll find Veritas Tactical at 207 North Goldenrod Road, Suite 200 in Orlando. Contact Veritas Tactical, 407-309-3000, 407-309-3000, and at VeritasTactical.com. Veritas Tactical. Tactical.
Welcome back to The Buff Show, rolling along into the last segment, and it's Tuesday evening, so that means it's time for True Crime on The Buff Show. Let's bring in our special guest for this, Wendy Whitman, author of the book Premonition. Phenomenal read. Find it on thebuffshow.com, Amazon, anywhere books are sold. Premonition, get your copy today. Wendy Whitman, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Matt.
Well, we've got a lot to cover, but first I want to talk about this big event you got coming up in New York. It'll be you, Jack Ford, Rita Crosby, Ricky Kleiman, Greg Jarrett, True Crime Craze is what it's called, from Court TV to podcast, 92Y Talks. So people can join this online, but also we encourage people to go in person so they can meet you, Wendy.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be October 28th at 7:30 at the 92nd Street Y in New York, which is known to do just terrific events. It'll be Jack Ford, Greg Jarrett, Ricky Kleiman, Rita Crosby, and myself. And we're going to discuss basically how we think Court, because we all work Court TV, how we think Court TV, you know, is at least in part responsible for launching the whole true crime craze that's going on now, which has just exploded. And you can, if you go to 92y.org/event/true-crime-craze, you can buy either virtual tickets or, if you're in New York, in-person tickets. So, you know, we'd love to see as many people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a fun time. And it's going to be exciting because I do believe Court TV had a lot to do with it. I mean, you can go way back to the OJ trial and the fascination people had with that. Just all ever since then, all the trials that have been televised and then the excellent reporting by you and others has really gotten people involved. And now Netflix is launching a show with Steve Martin and Martin Short about a true crime event. Have you seen any of that show?
No, I've not watched that show yet. It's on my list. But I have
Okay, well, take your time. It's take your time. No big hurry for that one.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll take it off the list.
Yeah. I mean, judge for yourself. That's what I tell everybody. See, my wife, she loves it, and it's called That It Happened in This Apartment or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard people who really love it and people who don't like it, so I'm not sure where I'll fall, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So very cool stuff, though. Are you going to be there autographing the Premonition book?
At the Y?
Yes.
I'm not sure if we're going to be selling books or not, but if anyone has a book and brings it, I'll certainly sign it.
Okay, very good. So make sure you to bring your Premonition book with you to this event. We'll post it on thebuffshow.com so you guys can get more information on that. The true crime craze has been phenomenal, and just a lot of stories that you and I have talked about, but also with this Gabby Petito thing, as we're talking today, new information is coming out left and right. Brian Laundry is missing for a long time now, since you and I first started talking about this. And his parents are just kind of living life as normal. They're not out there trying to find this kid. And it seems like some contradictory evidence came out from the parents' testimony today. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, when stories start to change, that's never a good sign. And when someone vanishes, that's never a good sign, you know, flight and all that. So, you know, it's obviously on the surface, it's not looking good. I'm pretty surprised that they haven't found him yet, because there's such a massive manhunt underway. He's certainly hiding very well. I mean, he literally, at this point, enough time has passed that he could be anywhere. And it's really, you know, every case is different and every person involved in every case is different. And you just never know what's actually going on. And I guess I don't think they really know where he is. I don't even think they know what vicinity to look at. You know, like, he could be in Mexico, he could be in Alabama, he could literally probably be almost anywhere. So I guess if he's hiding well, maybe he's disguised, who knows. Somehow he's, right now he's quote winning, but I can't imagine this can go on much longer.
Well, we know he probably didn't fly out, because he would have been on a manifest, is that
right,
correct?
Right. Yeah, I think he's been either driving around or hitch, you know, something. I don't see how he could be flying anywhere. Yeah.
Like you said, enough time has passed. He might have a long beard at this point. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, the disguise.
I also think, sorry not to interrupt, I also think, you know, nobody thinks they're going to stumble upon someone like that, even though he's in the news. And even if someone spotted someone they thought sort of looked like him, I think they'd probably go, nah, I'm crazy. Or, you know, I'm not saying they wouldn't report it. I'm just saying, unless he looked exactly like he's looked in these pictures, I think that, you know, people often doubt themselves. So maybe he has been spotted and nobody recognized him, where they thought, well, he looks a little like, doesn't he look a little like that guy? Or it's possible he's really hiding out where no one's seeing him at all. He's obviously doing it well so far, because one way or the other, he still hasn't been apprehended. And again, it's pretty unusual to have this kind of a massive man. And when they know who the person is they're looking for, it's one thing, these unsolved, you know, cold cases and unsolved where they don't know who they're looking for, but they know who they're looking for here. They're in touch with his parents constantly. And I think it's sort of odd that they haven't found him yet.
No, I think it's very odd too. And especially since the parents are just living their lives like he's not gone. The person of interest, let's talk about that. He's been named a person of interest today. And I know that sounds blasé on its face, but person of interest, that makes you a suspect. Is that correct?
Well, I think, you know, person of interest is sort of a generic way of saying we got our eyes on you. And I think if you're named a person of interest, I think it sort of inherently means they're suspicious of you, obviously. But it's short of actually charging someone and arresting them and saying you did it. But and some persons of interest end up with a good alibi and they're wrong and they're not the right ones and they never get arrested or whatever. But, you know, no one wants to be named a person of interest in a murder case.
No, not whatsoever. If I was named a person of interest, I'd be very worried about that. So
yeah, you should get a lawyer.
Hey, it's not.
Yeah. Time to lawyer up.
This guy looks like a lot of guys. I mean, there's nothing unique about him. Brian right. Laundry.
Yeah.
Now, Dog the Bounty Hunter put out a report today that neighbors heard her screaming and him putting his hand over her mouth. Did you hear about this?
No, that I did not hear about.
Yeah, Gabby apparently was screaming and Brian put his hand over her mouth. There's just mounting evidence that he did it. The fact that he's on the run does not help his case at all.
No, I mean, quite honestly, anyone who was completely innocent had absolutely nothing to do with something would just not act this way. You just wouldn't. You do everything possible to help. And a new twist came out, I believe, last week that people didn't realize that he had left after that notorious incident when the cops pulled them over and they were fighting. He flew back to Florida to do a couple of things. And then he flew back to out west to, I believe, Utah or Wyoming, wherever she was. And then she disappeared after that. So that's sort of an odd twist in the story. And then, of course, he was using her credit cards. He came back with her van. I mean, this is just not innocent type behavior. And it's just one red flag, really, after the next. And disappearing, you know, is a huge red flag. And whether his parents know where he is or just are covering for him, you know, we don't know exactly the depth of their involvement. You know, I'm not going to say anything in that regard at the moment, but I think that literally every single thing he's done since she went missing and even before is obviously suspicious, for sure.
In all your years at Court TV, did you ever see an innocent person flee?
An innocent person flee? No, innocent people don't flee. And I can't recall a case where someone we knew 100% was innocent ran. It just really doesn't happen.
Well, technically, I guess O.J. Simpson fled.
Yes, he fled. He fled. So, yes, he was. Well, I've seen people acquitted, found not guilty,
who
fled. But it doesn't mean they're innocent. So, yes, I've seen people found not guilty and fled.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that this guy has disappeared, and they keep focusing on the marsh, right? The campgrounds and everything like that. And based on the autopsy, which basically said she was killed at a campground, okay?
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking at this case is they checked the campgrounds around the area, and they're finding out that cars were different. Like his Mustang, for example, was at different places at different times. And that was a big contradiction from what they originally told too. So do you see, like, if the parents are harboring him, not maybe in the house, but harboring him somewhere, are they culpable in some way?
Yeah, I would assume that if they prove that they helped him, you know, escape or and know where he is and set him up or any of those potential factors, I would think they would be charged with accessories after the fact. And of course, they have to prove it. They would have to prove it. It may not be hard to prove it. You know, eventually, it's impossible to believe he's not going to be caught. I don't see any way he won't get caught. That would just be incredibly bizarre, depending on how far he gets. But again, it would probably be impossible for him to actually fly anywhere. So that does limit, you know, he's not going to be off in Tahiti. He's not going to be in South America. You know, if his radius is limited to where he can drive or hitch or something like that, he can only go so far, I would think. I would think it would be hard for him to leave the country. In that regard, if he is limited in that way geographically, at some point he's going to mess up. He still has to buy food and gas or whatever. He has to keep surviving, and it's sort of hard to do it without getting supplies and exposing yourself to some degree. And yes, he is sort of generic-y looking. So again, what I said previously, you know, people sometimes think someone looks like someone, but they can't believe they really stumbled on the guy and they just don't do anything. But at some point, if he's having contact with people, someone's going to turn him in.
Yeah, someone will. I mean, it's very few people in this country that do not know who Brian Laundrie is.
Yeah.
But the generic factor could be anybody, which, like you said, it's a lot different when you walk by somebody in the street besides just looking at their picture on TV. Because on the street, you're not as focused on them.
Right, right.
And it's just unbelievable. Well, we're going to find out. And an autopsy, what we're looking at is basically how someone died and time of someone died. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's they usually do the time of death even at the scene, and then it's, you know, the procedure that they determine the cause of the exact cause of death.
That's right, neck wounds, things like that.
Because sometimes someone will have multiple things happen to them. They could be hit over the head, and they could also be stabbed, or this or that. They always they go through all the injuries, but they do always pinpoint they try as much as they can to pinpoint the actual exact cause of death. Like if she had other multiple things going on, they do usually get to the bottom of what actually caused her death. And then they rule whether it's a homicide or accidental or, you know, the different possibilities.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we'll keep our eye on this story and more. Everybody check out the book Premonition. Wendy, the big event on, you said it was October 28th, yes?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. 92Y Talks, The True Crime Craze. Jack Ford, Rita Cosby, Ricky Kleiman, Greg Jarrett, and Wendy Whitman. So, Wendy, that'll be a fun event. We'll get everybody out there, and we'll talk to you next week as this case develops.
Sounds great.
All right, and that'll do it for the Buff Show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. You stay smart out there.
I'm a gun-toting patriot, God-fearing patriot. Bryson, why they mad? Because I'm real and they be faking it. Free speech advocate, it's on my mind, I'm saying it. I'm about to buy another gun and ain't nobody taking it. Gun-toting, Bible-reading, God-believing, truth-speaking American, this MAGA season.